It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It looks like we got another barn burner here.
We really love offense at PNC Park, don't we?
I mean, really.
It just comes in one nice little wave, goes away for a couple of days, maybe more.
I mean, anyway.
And you long for its return.
0-0. Your heart care matters. Get your heart checked at UPMC Heart and Vascular Institute. As always, fan Twitter is at 93.7TheFan. It's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So, again, we are it's a 0-0 game so far. And, you know, it's really what's really troublesome for these games is that there's not even really all that much intrigue.
You don't like good pitchers' duels?
It's fly out, ground out, strike out. Every so often you get Rowdy Tellez diving on the diving to make a stop at first base. Right?
Yeah, that's what he just did to record the first out.
So, it was the last out of the last inning.
He did it again.
Oh, wow, another one.
For the first out, and then there's a little flare to Nick Gonzalez. Yeah, now two gone.
Two gone.
Keller hasn't allowed a hit since the first inning.
Pete Alonso, you know, he makes a Pete Alonso makes an incredible swing to hit a low, drooping line drive to Nick Gonzalez.
It doesn't seem like he wants to be traded here with how he's played at PNC this weekend.
That's what I'm saying. It just is amazing to me how bad. You know, it's one thing, like I said yesterday on Twitter, on social media, I said, every single pitcher in baseball right now looks like Sandy Koufax against most of these hitters. Right?
But will moving the mound back really make the ultimate difference? As we heard, was it Michael McHenry that told us that it will make stuff play even better for pitchers?
Yeah, no, that was Joe's idea, moving the mound back.
Right.
No.
And that was quickly shut down.
I don't think there's much you can do about it. Maybe lowering the mound again, I don't know.
Maybe shorten up your swings? I mean, how much has that been? When you say, every time there's a game on TV and you watch it, you always see that there's no hitters, maybe just a couple, that'll shorten up on the bat, choke up a little bit,
right,
and try to get quicker to the baseball. Is that a part of it, especially with the velocity these guys are facing? Now, I'm not a major league hitting coach, but I would think that, you know, in times that I've played baseball and everything else, the shorter you are to the ball, especially because a lot of these guys, the ball's just getting blown by them.
Well, and the other part of it is, what if I hit the ball where it's pitched is what I hear quite often.
Well, that, you know, too. Don't be afraid to take it the other way.
Right. But everybody's trying to hit the ball mile, you know, velocity and all this other stuff. Exit velocity, launch angles. Everyone's trying to hit home runs. Just crazy.
Keller with another clean inning, 1-2-3.
Yeah.
Going to the bottom of the fourth, still scoreless.
Right.
Yeah, Paul, this offense, that's the main thing. Everybody knows that the main problem with this team, why they're likely not going anywhere this year, and why, I mean, Noah talked about it. A rental just does not make sense this year, whether it be like a high-priced rental. Now, what, Remember when they brought in Ben Gamel a couple years ago or Corey Dickerson? Somebody like that at the deadline? I don't know. Dickerson was at the start of the year, but is that type of move really going to do anything instead of playing a young guy like Sawinski to see if you actually, if he is completely shot or if he can still find it?
Right.
Like, what do you value more?
No, for sure.
Because that's probably why you give Jack Sawinski the playing time, at least if you're out of it. Then right. You give Jack Sawinski that playing time and you have no more use for the rental.
But again, I mean, obviously a rental makes no sense this year. I get that.
No, not in the position that they are, but 5 under.
But, you know, a month ago it did.
Yes, a month ago it did.
A month ago it did, but now it doesn't. Now, I mean, I hate to be fatalistic, but what, I'm supposed to get excited about this if they win this game? Wow, yay. They're exactly where they were a week ago in the season. Actually, they're
exactly where they were a month ago.
I mean, if you look,
they're worse than they were a month ago.
If you look at it, right, they win this. Let's say they win this game, okay? Hooray for the Buccos. They win this game. This is what I keep trying to tell people who don't seem to understand why there has to be a sense of urgency. Okay. May 4th, Saturday, May 4th. Do you know where they were at? What record-wise?
I think they were like a game over 500.
15-19, 4 games under.
Ugh.
May 4th, 15-19, 4 games under, right? Okay, May 17th, do you know where they were at?
3 games under 500.
21-25, 4 games under 500. May 22nd, they were 23-27, 4 games under 500. Let's see. June 1st. 27-31, 4 games under 500. June 13th, 32-36, 4 games under 500. Right. June 24th, 37-41,
4 games under 500.
Okay. If they win today, they'll be 43-47, which is
4 games under 500.
Exactly.
The same spot that they've been hovering around the whole entire season.
The time to make a move was a month ago. It's too late now.
It also takes two to tango.
Right.
And did anybody really want to trade with them? But at the same token, look what the Padres did and got Luis Urias for basically nothing from Miami. The Marlins ate money. How great would he look playing somewhere in the Pirates infield right now? Batting anywhere for this team. And I think he might be going to the All-Star game. At least he's good enough to.
Again, you go out and get a couple of guys a month ago, maybe you're not 4 games under 500 if you win today. And if they lose today, they're 6 games under, which actually is not true. I have this argument quite often with many people. They're actually 2 games under 500, not 4.
Considering...
Well, if you're say you're 43-47, which is what they would be if they win today.
Right.
43-47. How many wins would you need to be 500?
If you're 43-47?
You will have played 90 games. What's 500 if you've played 90 games?
45.
Exactly. What do you have? How many wins do you have?
43.
So you're 2 games under. It's one of my pet peeves quite often. You've played 90 games. 500 is 45. So 43 wins, you're 2 under, not 4.
Makes sense.
Now, there's a lot of people that would argue with you, well, you need to win 4 games to be back at 500, but that's different because being at 500, when we say you're how many games under 500, it's based on how many games you've played.
Yeah, but it's based off of your record compared to your wins and your losses, at least I think.
It's based,
500 is viewed by your win total compared to your loss total.
It's based on how many you've won or lost.
How many games you've won or lost, yeah.
It's based on how many you've played. So if you played 100 games, what's 500?
50-50. Yeah, but when you're 45-47, it doesn't say winning percentage 500.
When you're 45-47, you're under 500.
Correct.
By how much?
2 games.
1 game. Because you will have played 92 games, 500 is 46.
Yeah, I just don't agree with that. It's just, and I'm not good at math, but
I'm just, what I'm saying is 500 is you've won half your games and lost half your games. So here's a great example. For an entire season, what is 500?
81 and 81.
Exactly. So your X amount of games under 500 based on how many wins you have with respect to 81.
I see your point.
So if you have 76 wins, you're really technically, I mean, you actually are 76 and 86. Most people would say, well, you're 10 games under 500.
A couple of the texters are agreeing with you as well.
You're actually 5 games under 500. 76 and 86, even though you're, anyway.
It's all relative.
That's one of my old school newspaper guy, journalist guy, editor guy, whatever. One of my old school things that it's a little pet peeve of mine. There we go. O'Neal Cruz is up. And he is, 2-1. Is this where he hits a home run?
It'd be ideal.
Huh?
It would be nice.
You want to, can we live feed this?
We can.
Let's live feed this play right here.
And a blast it was.
Look at that. How about that?
Wow.
And so that
you saw the notification before I did, Paul.
I didn't see it. I just said, can he hit a home run here?
He hit a moonshot into the bullpen.
He destroyed that ball. Yes.
So he's homered, what, twice in the series?
Yeah.
Homered on Saturday.
You know what I forget? I often forget that the video feed is behind
right, yeah,
the audio. So the audio we actually didn't hear the call of the home run, right? Because it was behind the audio. But he apparently destroyed it. But he, looking at it, he destroyed the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was that into the Pirates bullpen?
Yeah, he killed
that. That's about 440.
Yeah. Yeah, he destroyed that one. I'm sure we'll get the numbers on it. That was over the Mets bullpen and into the Pirates bullpen. So that is a long way to hit a baseball.
Here's how it sounded on KDKA 100.1 FM.
2-1. And the pitch. Swing, high fly ball, left of center and deep. Bader back to the wall. There it goes. Home run. O'Neal Cruz into the bullpen. The Pirates bullpen. That was a long one. And the Pirates take a 2-0 lead on their first hit of the day.
Almost got him first time up. Came close.
You heard the crack of the bat there, by the way. He hit the heck out of that one. That's for sure. Social media's Biggest Loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at Awaken 180. Weightloss.com. That's obviously Malzy or Donnie Football. And of course, let's see. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And the 15-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We're talking baseball, obviously. The Pirates are up 2-0. There we go, Rowdy Tellez. Did he get enough of that one? He did not. Okay. But the Pirates scored 2 runs, which in this series feels like, you know, although they did score, what, 14 on Friday night?
Yes.
You know. The problem with scoring 14 on Friday night is that they came back and basically didn't score for 2 games and lost. So regardless of what happens here, they're going to split a series, you know, even though the run differential in this series is going to be like, what, plus 12 or something,
plus 13.
It gives
you false hope that they're actually going to be able to score a ton of runs in the series.
Right. So that's to me. I'll tell you one thing, too, when you talk about run differential, we look at different ways to quantify things when we're talking about the Pirates. If you look at the wild card race, the Braves and the Padres are two teams that are really comfortably in the positive. Believe it or not, the Reds are 14, plus 14. The Reds have a run differential that is 43 better than the Pirates, and they're behind the Pirates.
You know, the Cardinals have scored one more run than the Pirates have this year.
And the Cardinals' run differential, and this is what tells me the Cardinals are probably going to fall out of contention here. The Cardinals' run differential is ridiculously bad.
Negative 39.
Yes.
The Pirates is negative 29.
Now, you combine that, you compare that to the four teams in the top of the wild card in the American League. The Yankees are plus 101, Twins plus 51. Red Sox plus 36, Royals plus 56. And you look at the teams in the National League just kind of floundering around, you know, right around 500 and right around a negative run differential. It's absolutely absurd.
Negative 29 for the Pirates.
Yeah. 412-928-9370 is the fan text line. We got texts in the city coming up? Do we got some texts in the city?
We got a couple.
All right, we'll get some texts in the city coming up. It's 93.7 The Fan.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The text in the city. What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. It's Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. High today of 91 degrees with sunny skies. Did I see this correctly before we get started, that it was 14 years ago or 15 years ago today? 14 years ago today that LeBron James,
yes,
sat in front of the TV world and said, "Hey, I'm taking my talents to South Beach."
And everybody joined the Miami Heat.
And everybody lost their minds because they said, "Well, why is he, holding people, why is he holding television audiences captive here? This is an ego play." He raised like $150,000 or $200,000 with charity, by doing that.
The decision.
The
day that'll live in TV history forever.
Absolutely. I mean, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. People were upset about it, but what did he do? All he did was basically... And he did it now. I mean, what's going on in the sports calendar right now that you can't have a primetime event like that people will watch?
The fact that it was that huge of an event, the decision of where he was going, whether he was going to stay or leave, just shows the magnitude of importance that LeBron has to basketball in the sports world. Crazy.
I will say this, too. And this is probably a little bit of this ventures into hot take category. Would you agree with me? That his time in Miami, they underachieved a little bit?
Even though they went to the finals every year?
Well, he was there, what, 4 years?
4 years, and they went two and two. Yeah, they underachieved. The team that they had?
They put together one of these super teams. And again, here's what's so funny to me. is that everybody gets all worked up when you say, yeah, they kind of underachieved. Now, I will say this. The Spurs were better than them, but I thought they should have beat the Mavericks.
I thought they should beat Dallas, too.
I thought they should have beat the Mavericks.
It seemed evident that they were going to.
Yes.
And Dallas just outplayed them.
And Dirk Nowitzki went crazy. But to me, he was there for 4 years, I think, right?
He was.
And the other part of that is, you know, I'm sorry. You put together a super team like that. They were all healthy in that series. Just, they just didn't quite get it done.
They underachieved, but it seems like every super team now underachieves. Yeah. Like, look what Brooklyn did with Harden and
Durant. Well, I mean, again,
Durant.
I could have told you that wasn't going to go well.
That one, I think, was pretty evident to everyone.
I could have told you that, but like Golden State put together, they actually were never a super team, except for the 2 years they had. They had
Durant and they won both of them.
They won two, but my thing is, you know, I thought the Heat should have won at least three of those 4 years. Now, they were obviously really good. And it's not like I'm saying they stunk or whatever. I know people get, like, sensitive when you say the word underachieved, but I felt like they should have done more. Okay, let's get to text in the city.
Steve asks, can Paul use his creative mathematics to do my taxes next year when it comes to being under 500? A lot of texters wanted to get in on this fun.
Yes, it's not creative. It's true.
So somebody said, Paul, the number two games under 500 is how many games you have to win to get to 500. You're overthinking it. If you finish 78-84, you finish the season six games under 500, not three games.
There's not six games left. That's
so why
the
does
point.
It automatically change?
It doesn't change.
The qualifier changes.
That's the point. It never changes. It's based on how many games you've played. So if you've played 100 games, 50 is 500. If you played 120, 60 is 500.
Robin Wilkinsburg says, Paul, you talk about overthinking. Next, you're going to tell us that four RBIs is actually four RBI. You're killing me, man.
Well, it is. I mean, it's runs batted in, isn't it?
Yeah. So when you write it out in a column, you put RBI or RBI.
Is it runs batted ins?
That's a weird thing about baseball and, well, what's the proper grammar would be the proper word. People just put it. You don't put home runs, HRs, but RBIs, people put the S.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. That works. So I can live with that. I like those. Those were funny texts. I like them. They were good. I give them all nines. Okay. They're good.
Here's another one. Zach and Latrobe. I agree if you find the right deal for Keller, make the deal, but I don't trust the Pirates to develop the prospects they receive.
You don't trust what?
The texter does not trust the prospects.
Yeah.
That the Pirates would develop them properly.
Well, I mean, there's always that, right? But to me, it just is amazing when I say this, but to me, I look at it and I say, then you basically don't want anyone to make a trade. You don't want them to make any trade or any deal because you're basically saying you think he's incompetent or he can't make deals or who, you know. Eventually, you got to make a deal, and you hope that he makes the right deal. So I'll give that one like a six. Go ahead.
That's pretty much about it, except George and Plum chimed in. We wanted to point this out to Pomp, but we were talking earlier about how Doc in Claysville joined us.
Right.
Right, Paul?
Right.
And Doc in Claysville has provided us with one of the best drops that we can think of that, maybe we should have played it for Bob, but if you've missed it, here it is.
Dirtbag Dan is what I call him.
Ah, Dirtbag Dan.
We love it.
Why would he call Dan that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, and I asked Dan about it, and he said he thought he had a good relationship with Doc and Claysville.
I thought he did, too. Dan's feelings hurt.
No. Dan's got thick skin, you know. But anyway, I like I said, I think one of the things, if you're going to talk about he's not good enough to make deals or makes trades or you don't trust him to make trades, then you know what that tells me? It's time to get a new general manager. You know what I'm saying?
One more text. Mike Z in Washington. The Bucs need to use the All-Star break to teach bunting and hit and run.
Yes. How about Michael A. Taylor found a way twice in the same weekend to bunt a third strike? I mean, here's the thing. and I mean this in all sincerity, if you feel better about a guy bunting with two strikes than swinging away,
tells you all you need to know.
You need to get out. You need to get him completely out of your lineup. Period. I mean, that's just how it is. So anyway, so I think I'm on my own the next couple days. Then I'm out.
Yes, that's correct.
And I think, you know, there'll be a hodgepodge of nothingness for the last couple of days of this week, right?
Donnie, football's on Thursday.
Yes.
And Josh Taylor is on Friday.
Okay, well, there you have it.
We'll have some fun.
We'll have some fun. Tomorrow we've got Derek Shelton, right? We've got
Destiny's Child.
Destiny's Child, Michael McHenry. So we've got a lot of baseball to talk tomorrow. We'll do all that. Until then, have a good night. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.